Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of Politics A. My name is Aiden Cleaver, and got some pretty big news. Now, unfortunately, because I record this ahead of time, I'm a week late to the news, but this is some pretty big news, so I think it's gonna stay relevant. And I don't think anything crazy is going to happen between the week that I record this and the week that it comes out. Justin Trudeau has resigned. He has resigned as party leader of the Liberals and will be resigning as party leader of the Liberals and will be resigning as prime minister. Now, very, very big news. A lot of people, it's been a lot of speculation around whether Trudeau will continue to be prime minister and continue to be party leader of the Liberals, or if he will step down and allow someone else. For a while, it was looking like it's not going to be a thing and that he wasn't going to step down because he kept saying that, no, we're continuing this. But over the past few months, he's had lots of talks with his caucus, and there have been a lot. It started with just a few ministers within the Liberal caucus and then continued to just snowball into more and more that were saying that, no, he needs to step down and that we're pressuring him to step down. Then I think the tipping point for him was Chrystia Freeland, his deputy prime minister and minister of finance, stepping down and kind of blasting him on her letter. Basically, if you didn't read it, basically saying that I do not think that you are doing a very good job. I think that you have forced me to do a lot of stuff that I do not agree with. And I don't think you're taking the threat of Trump's economic policy, like his 25% tariffs, seriously enough. So I have to step down because of that. And in Canada and in politics in general, but if you are part of the government and you do not agree with it and you are unable to make change that you want, you see politicians have this like quote unquote moral obligation that they have to step down and remove themselves from it because they do not agree with it. And then that's what happened with Chrystia Freeland, is that she did not agree with what Trudeau was doing, attempted to change it, but then he didn't listen. And she ultimately decided that she has to resign and step away. Now, with Trudeau gone, Parliament has been prorogued, which means that Parliament is closed. We're not having any new bills brought. Nothing can be voted on. It's sort of in like a limbo state. And it is prorogued until March 24th. So Parliament will not be open. No discussions, no nothing will happen until March 24th. This has been the longest session in history, which started in the 22nd of November in 2021, a bit after Trudeau had re-won the election. Now, I understand why Parliament has been prorogued, because he came out and said in his little interview, which was fairly short, and he didn't take a lot of questions from journalists and reporters, but he came out and said that he had decided to do it. He apparently told his kids the night before over dinner that he was going to be stepping down, and so he says that. He says that he's going to be stepping down. He technically hasn't stepped down because the Liberals don't have a new party leader and then incumbent or interim prime minister, because we're all but certain to have an election when we come back, or when Parliament comes back on March 24th. There will be a vote of no confidence, and the Liberals will most likely lose that because the Conservatives are going to vote against them, NDP has said they will vote against them, and the Bloc will vote against them. But the reason Trudeau has prorogued Parliament is to give time for what he said, nationwide campaign and election for the Liberals to figure out who they want their party leader to be. And it's not very clear who it's going to be. I think there are the two. I'm going to go through who it could be. I think there's a lot of people on this CBC article that it says who it could be. I think there are generally only two realistic people. I think then if you want to give maybe two more to like two other possibilities to two other people, but then the rest of them are fairly, in my opinion, unlikely. But I'll go through. So the people who are, in my opinion, kind of unlikely, I'll just go through, is Anita Anand, who was in cabinet in 2019, and has had several portfolios. She's not like a huge big name. So I don't think she will, be like, I don't know. All these people are like fairly, I don't want to say small and insignificant, but I just, they are not talked about as much. And I feel like right now, if you're the Liberals, you're going to want to put in someone who is somewhat known, but at the same time, it's difficult to put in someone who's somewhat known, and I'll get to that. Another one is Christy Clark. And then another one is Francois-Philippe Champagne, and then Jonathan Wilkinson, and Karine Gould, and Frank Bayless. These are all people that I don't think are going to be elected. I, the reason I say that is I kind of using the U.S. as a example, because that just recently happened with the U.S. You know, Joe Biden was saying that he was going to run, faced internal pressures to step down, continued to say that he was still going to be running, and then eventually caved to them and stepped down. And everybody was like, oh, there's like tons of different people that were going to be potentially the Democratic nominee to run for president. Bunch of different people. Turns out it was kind of the most obvious choice. Kamala Harris, his VP. So I'm going to kind of continue with the most obvious ones. Now getting to the like top two that maybe have a chance. But it is also a bit of a trend with Liberals is that they go English, French, English, French, English, French, English, French. And right now we're at French with Trudeau. So these two are French. So maybe a bit less of a chance that they will. And they're not talked about as much as the other top two. So this is Mélanie Joly, who had a whole thing where she did a New York Times interview and, I don't know, stirred up some controversy about that because she was apparently, according to Paul Liev in a Twitter post, or ex post, whatever, quote, his foreign affairs minister launches her leadership bid to replace him in the New York Times. I don't think she is a top contender. And then there's also Dominique LeBlanc, who ran for leadership before but dropped out in 2008. He chose not to run against Trudeau in 2013. He is the finance and intergovernmental affairs minister, and accompanied Trudeau to Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. So obviously he is connected, and apparently he said he wouldn't be surprised if Liberal Party executives ask LeBlanc to take the party in the next election, and it's very likely, supposedly, that he will put himself forward as a potential candidate, and has the support of dozens of Liberal MPs, according to a source by the CBC. But I think the top two that everybody is talking about and everybody thinks is going to run are both Mark Carney and Chrystia Freeland. Chrystia Freeland is obvious Deputy Prime Minister, is well known by a lot of people, but I think a problem for her is that, well, she was the deputy prime minister. She was very close to Trudeau, and a lot of people are going to have a skewed perspective of her and are going to, like, the opposition, especially I think the conservatives, are going to really hammer home the point of, like, oh, she's just the exact same. We've already seen this already happened. Poilievre when Freeland said she was stepping down or resigning, she posts her thing. Poilievre talks about it, says, oh no, Freeland's great. None of this was her fault. It's all Trudeau. He's the problem, blah, blah, blah. Gets like a glowing review. She gets a glowing review from Poilievre. And then Trudeau says he's stepping down. And immediately he gets on and goes, all the Liberals are the same. It's the party. It's not just Trudeau. Trudeau is not the problem. It's all Liberals. Freeland and Carney are all the problem as well. And it's like, well, okay, well, you just said Freeland was not a problem, was actually really good at her job, and it was Trudeau's fault and whatever. But now it's apparently Freeland's the problem as well. And it's whatever. I think that's going to hinder her a bit. And then as well is Mark Carney, who does not have who's not currently elected. He doesn't have a seat or anything. He was the Bank of Canada governor and governor of the Bank of England. So he's a finance guy or like an economic finance guy. And in 2021, he accepted a position as special advisor to the party in September, becoming a chair of a task force on economic growth. And he's kind of being brought up consistently about is he going to run? So I don't know. I think it's very easy to speculate about it, but what is the point in speculating about it? Because who knows? Maybe it's going to be someone that we don't expect. I doubt it. I think it'll probably either be Mark Carney or Chris Freeland. I think most likely it would be Freeland. But again, I could be wrong. That's kind of the thing about speculation. I don't know. It's not very easy to tell. And I also think right now it's not easy to predict anything because I think the world is just in a very unpredictable place. So could be someone way out of left field comes in. And I think the difficult part about that is you either elect someone who is known, who would have the support of a lot of MPs, and would already be kind of known, so you wouldn't have to campaign as hard. But if you elect them, they're already well known. They're very easily tied to the Liberal government, very easily tied to Trudeau, and everybody hates Trudeau. So if they're easily tied to him, it's just it's more of the same. Whereas if you got someone who is fairly unknown, you then don't have that problem as much of trying to tie them back to Trudeau, but you then have to somehow get the support of a bunch of MPs, and then you have to campaign with someone who is widely unknown to the general population about how or why they should, for whatever reason, be elected. And unfortunately, in Canada, we have a bit of a history of putting in a prime minister stepping down, putting in a female prime minister, a bit of an intern prime minister, and then them immediately losing. This happened with Kim Campbell. So if it happens with Chrystia Freeland again, it's very, very unfortunate that the only time we have had female prime ministers would be when the former prime minister had problems, had to step down, and then they immediately get unelected and out of the government. Now, I think there are a lot of reasons why people do not want Trudeau. I think it's, if you think realistically about why you don't want Trudeau, I think there are a few different camps. I think there are people who are differ politically, people who actually do differ politically and have a history of voting conservative, let's say, because they do not agree with Liberal policy. I think there is that camp. I think there are people who have fallen into the populist messaging of Poilievre, and that's a whole thing that I want to do more research on and write up like an actual good to be able to do a good show on populism and how that's like affected our politics and my kind of thoughts about it. But I think there are people, I think there's a camp of people that have fallen into that and kind of just listen to whatever they say, and they say Trudeau's bad, so they think Trudeau's bad. I also think there are a lot of people who, and I think this is the majority of people, I think the people in the, who have fallen into the populism camp, I think fall into this one as well, a bit of a like overlapping Venn diagram, are people who have incumbent fatigue. He has just been in here. He's been prime minister for a very, very long time. And Canada doesn't have term limits. You could be prime minister if you keep getting elected for 50 years. Like, Canada doesn't have term limits, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think that is generally a good thing. You have to call an election at least, you have to call an election every 5 years at least. You can call an election earlier. You can't call an election earlier. It has to be every 5 years. But there are no term limits. So you can get elected, go a full 5 years, call an election, get elected again, call an election, keep going. And you can be in power for a very long time. And I don't think that is a bad thing, because if we have a free and fair democracy like Canada does, then if we keep electing the same person, then clearly they're doing something right. So I don't think that's generally a bad thing, but it does result in incumbent fatigue. If you look at the US, they have term limits. You can only serve 2 terms, and each term is 4 years. So you can only serve 8 years. And I think that if the US did not have term limits, we probably would have seen Obama at least be in for another 4 years, because people really, really liked Obama, and they liked him even after he could no longer run for president. There's a large majority of people who probably still would have voted for Obama, and he potentially could have still won. So I think that you don't see incumbent fatigue as much in the US, but in Canada, you do see it. This happens. This is not a Trudeau specific thing. It happens every time we have a prime minister. They come into power, they're in power for a good long time, and then everybody hates them, and there are so many reasons why they're so bad and they're awful and blah 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 blah. So then we boot them out and we get someone else in, and they're gonna fix the country, and then they're in for a long time, and then everybody hates them and we need to get rid of them and blah blah blah, blah. So I think it's generally the thing is that it's just incumbent fatigue. People are sick of him because he's been here for such a long time. And there's a quote from some stuff from the BBC that I want to quote. It says, Cody Blois, a liberal who has served as a member of parliament since 2019, has just told the BBC's World News Tonight that Trudeau had to resign from his position because of Canadians' fatigue with him. Blois pointed to Trudeau's 9-year tenure, which he describes, quote, as a long time in any modern political reality. He was in the media and the public eye a lot, and a lot of my constituents, yes, they may have certain concerns about policy agenda, but largely, I think it just became a bit of fatigue with the prime minister himself, he said. While Trudeau has been consequential, Canada needs a leadership renewal, Blois added. So even a member of parliament, a liberal member of parliament, is agreeing and saying that, yes, it's because people are just tired of him. And I think that's a large thing. If you look back on Trudeau's prime ministership, yes, obviously there are many things he did wrong. There's a lot of stuff he could have done better. But I think generally he also had a lot of stuff that he did very good. So I think that, I think it is very easy to act like he was the worst person ever. But if he was, he would not have been elected for 9 years. And I think it'll happen with Poilievre. Everybody thinks that when Poilievre comes into power, everything's going to be amazing, but I personally don't think it will be. I don't think that Poilievre's going to come in and lower prices. Prices are going to stay where they are. What we need to do is raise wages. Deflation is not a thing, and not a good thing. You don't want prices going down, because then nobody ever buys everything or anything. Sorry. If you, in January, the price of a TV, let's say, if in January the price of a TV is $100, but you know that the price is going to go down in 6 months and be $80. But then in December of that same year, almost a year later, you know it's going to go down to $50. You're not going to buy the TV. You're going to wait until December and get it for $50 cheaper. Deflation is not a good thing. It's not going to happen. What we need is consistent inflation at a low rate. And 2% has been picked as the rate by a lot of countries. There's no reason for 2%. It's just a number that is generally good. But with inflation, everything should see inflation. Not only prices for things, but also wages. We have seen prices skyrocket, but wages stay stagnant and the same. We do not need someone to come in to lower price, to like quote unquote lower prices. That's not going to happen. What we need is someone to come in and help with increasing wages, help with fair business practices, and not allowing CEOs and top executives just paying themselves exorbitant amount of money. It is getting ridiculous at this point. And I hope that we continue to see people mad. I obviously, yes, there are going to be rich people, and I do not have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when a CEO pays themselves $24 million a year, gives themselves massive bonuses, million-dollar bonuses, stock options, everything, while decreasing the quality of their product, increasing prices, laying off staff, and then acting like it is the consumer's fault. I think the biggest example of this, in my opinion, is Unity. Unity pays their executives insane amounts of money. Salary for their president and chief executive officer in 2022. We'll go with salary at, they made $11 million total, with option awards at 3 million, stock awards at 8.3 million, and a salary at 380,000. And it is just ridiculous to me that their president got a salary in 2022 of 364,000, stock awards at 13.7 million, option awards at 1.8 million, non-equity incentive plan compensation $177,777, all other compensation $11,924, for a total of 16 million. And the year before that, a total of 31 million. Unity is not making enough money. Like, so their CEO gets a total in 2020 of 22 million, 2021 12 million, 2022 11 million. Their executive finance president and chief financial officer in 2021 gets a total of 41 million, and in 2022 a total of 19 million. Then their senior vice president and chief marketing officer in 2022 gets a total of $32 million. Then their senior vice president, general counsel, and corporate secretary gets a total of $19 million in 2022. Then, like I said, their president, Create Solutions, in 2021 gets a total of $31 million, and in 2022 a total of $16 million. Unity does not make that much money. If you don't know what Unity is, it's a game engine. You use it to create video games. It does not make anywhere near that much money, and they had to lay off staff and then included or introduced a horrible new business plan model of charging developers a certain amount of money every time their app got downloaded. Just absolutely ridiculous and insane stuff. This is what I'm talking about. This needs to change. And it is not change unless governments somehow do something. And I do not think that Polyev is going to do anything. I think he messages and talks a lot about the average person. He's not an average person. He's been a career politician his entire life. He's never had a job outside of politics. He's not like you or I. And I do not think that he is going to make it easier for the average consumer. How is he going to do that? Getting rid of the carbon tax, okay. What other taxes is he going to cut? What happens when he cuts those taxes? What services does he then underfund or defund? I think that's something that's very important to think about as well. Yes, you can want lower taxes, but does that mean everybody gets lower taxes? I'm fine for the middle class, for the middle and lower class to get lower taxes. That would be amazing. You then have to tax the upper class and the top 1% and massive corporations, more money then, tax them higher. But no, the people who line Polyev's pockets don't want that. It is similar to what I've talked about with Doug Ford. Doug Ford does not do anything for the average Ontario citizen. He has made deals for his rich buddies, and he just doesn't do anything or lower taxes for the average person. He has not lowered taxes in Ontario for anyone, which, by the way, in a month or so, we're going to be getting our $200 check. So look forward to that. But yeah, I think I heard it, a bit of an explanation for kind of what society should be. And I really agree with it in that, like, if you think about like the Roman Colosseum and how there were people up higher on stands who were watching in to this gladiator fight, the gladiators should be businesses. The gladiators should be attacking each other and killing each other and victors coming out and whatever. And then society, its citizens, should be raised above and living in luxury and living well off and not having to deal with the fights. That is what it should be. Allow corporations, capitalism is great. Allow corporations to fight and the best corporation wins and comes out on top. But then you constantly have new corporations coming in and trying to fight, and maybe another corporation comes in and topples that massive corporation that's been here for so long because they're actually doing stuff better. That's great. And then citizens are above that and are getting the rewards from these corporations fighting, getting lower prices, getting lower taxes because corporations are taxed higher, stuff like that. Instead, it's the reverse. Citizens are, the society is at each other's throats. We're constantly fighting each other while companies conglomerate into more bigger and bigger companies, and we have monopolies, and it's ridiculous and insane in my opinion. And unfortunately, I do not think that with Polyev, I'm going to talk about Polyev winning because he is going to win. I do not see how anyone else is going to win. If you look at any polls, but again, polls are polls. People actually have to go out and vote. But I don't see Polyev losing. I don't see Jagmeet Singh winning at all. And I certainly don't see whoever the Liberal leader is coming in and winning. And then obviously the Bloc won't win because they only run in Quebec. But yeah, I only see Polyev winning, so I'm interested to see how he'll deal with the economy, because the economy is a problem right now. Prices are too high. How is he going to force prices either lower, which I don't see happening, or how is he going to help with taxes that actually affect people and don't destroy any of our social services that we have? Or how is he going to help with increasing wages, because I think increasing wages is something that we need to do. When the CEO is making 600 times more than the average person or their employees, that's bad. When you're making 300, I think it's around like 300 times, sorry. When you're making 300 times, that's insane. You should not be making that much. Executives should not be making $20 million a year. They don't need that much money. Like, Unity paid 5 executives $150 million. Like, it's not only Unity. I'm saying Unity because they are just a very good example of this, but it is literally anybody. So I don't know. I'm not optimistic about Polyev coming in. I've gotten a little bit more optimistic with how he's going to deal with relations with the U.S. because he's been fairly outspoken against Trump, which kind of surprised me. I assumed he would have been like very buddy-buddy with Trump and like kind of just let Trump walk over Canada. Which is another thing about Trump talking about how Canada's going to become the new 51st state of the U.S., which does not make sense to me. He thinks Canada, all of Canada can be one state. That would never happen. Like, all the provinces can't agree on a single thing. Like, there's no way that that would happen. We would have to separate into just provinces. Each province would have to become a state. But I do not think that he genuinely believes it. I think it's him just like trolling a bit. But he's also talked, he's talked about getting rid of the imaginary line that separates us and using economic to get what he wants. He's talked about that with some, for whatever reason, wanting back the Panama Canal and saying that it should never have been given away. Or I think he said it should never have been built in the first place, which is insane. The Panama Canal has it's amazing. It's allowed the Pacific and the Atlantic to be connected and has allowed for trade. Otherwise, you'd have to go all the way around South America, like all the way down around South America, which just makes the trek a lot longer and would result in higher prices for stuff. But he's talking about how he wants to get that back and wants Greenland for... I don't really understand his obsession over Greenland, and also wants to rename the Gulf of Mexico to be the Gulf of America. Like, I honestly don't even know. Like, it is... I kind of try not to listen to what Trump says because it's very difficult to tell if he's being serious or thinks he's being funny and, like, trolling and whatever. But it's... I don't know. It's just very difficult to tell what he's actually going to do. It's very difficult to tell what he's actually going to do. But I do think that... it seems like Polyev is actually wanting to fight back against this a bit, for which I appreciate. I'm glad that he says he wants to do that. I can't wait to see if he actually fulfills and goes through with that. But if that's what he says he wants to do, that would be great. I would appreciate that. I don't think Polyev will be a good prime minister. I don't think he's going to be the worst person ever. I don't think he is going to destroy Canada. Unless he, for whatever reason, tries to give up Canada to the U.S., that would be the only way he would destroy it. But, like, I also don't think he's going to save Canada. I don't think he's, like, sent from heavens above to come down and save Canada. Like, I think people are putting too much faith and becoming incredibly parasocial with politicians. Like, if you look at people who are part of MAGA, not people who like or support Trump, people who are part of MAGA and the cult around it, because it is, let's be honest, it is a cult. They are, like, super obsessed with Trump. And it's to a point, like, to a parasocial point where they act, where they think they, like, know him so well and that he's their best friend. There are people like that with Polyev. And I think it's a bad thing. I personally don't really get like that with celebrities or anyone like that. And I certainly have never and hope to never get like that with a politician, because a politician does not care about you. It's unfortunate. And I think there are some politicians that try to care, but generally you are just a number. You are a vote for them. They're not your friend. Maybe on like smaller scale politics, like municipal politics, they are more connected and more in the community. But especially for a like country leader, like a prime minister or a president, they don't really care about you. Like Polyev does not care about me. Polyev does not care about you. He cares about your vote and that you'll vote for him, but he doesn't care about you specifically. I think it's going to be interesting. Advice I would get, I don't really know if I would call it advice, but what I would say is read everything with a grain of salt. do a bit more research than just reading the headline, and try to think critically. Like, I don't like Trudeau, but that doesn't mean I hate him and I love Poilievre. I can not like Trudeau and not like Poilievre. I think Trudeau has had his time. I think it's a good thing that he stepped down. He probably should have done it much earlier to give whoever is going to be interim prime minister a better shot and a better chance than a couple months. But I do think it is a good thing that he stepped down. So I would say try to be independent and not listen to one person. Also, don't be like, oh, I'm anti-mainstream media. I think it's fine, man. Like, I read CBC articles or BBC articles or Toronto Sun articles. Like, it's just information. And I think a lot of the people, again, this is why I want to do a better in-depth dive into populism, because this is more on the topic of populism. But I think the people who talk about like being out of the matrix and not listening to mainstream media and whatever are more closed off and in a echo chamber than they realize. Like, I follow Poilievre and Doug Ford both on Instagram. Why? Because I want to hear what they're saying. I want to know what they're saying and what they're talking about. I don't want to just seclude myself in this echo chamber of my own political thoughts and ideology and whatnot. And I think it's a good thing. I seek out different sources of information. But the people who are like, oh, you can only listen to some random dude in his mom's basement who will only ever talk about how Poilievre is amazing and Trudeau is bad, I think that's a bad thing. Like, I obviously have biases and I listen to people who or watch people or read articles or whatever that have a bias towards me, but I still try to be open-minded. And that's what I ask for you, is to just be open-minded. Think critically, especially going into the times that we are now with Trump in power, Poilievre almost certainly becoming prime minister, and I think just the increased rise of fake news and stuff like that online, especially with AI. It's getting crazy out there. But that's going to do it for this episode. Hopefully there's more information that'll come out. We'll hopefully figure out who's going to be the prime minister soon. But yeah, I hope you all enjoyed. I hope you all tune in next time. And thank you very much for listening.